entertaining as they are, court pratfalls were the exception. Mr. Berkowitz stresses that suppression had the upper hand until recently. Free Speech's most eloquent modern champion, John Stuart Mill, published On Liberty in 1859, but in Europe and America, state censorship weakened only in the 1950s to 60s. Then, and at other times, the law responded to public opinion. That is the second indirect means by which speech may be silenced, or freed. Pressure may come from the majority view or, as now, from the sensitivities of ethno-religious minorities. In America, where the First Amendment bars the government from limiting speech, save on exceptional grounds, courts have tended to strike down post-1945 laws controlling hate speech. In Europe, by contrast, such laws are common and even accepted by free speech liberals. Thus, American courts are often said to be more absolutist about free expression. Mr. Berkowitz corrects that half-truth, noting that American courts have upheld speech bans on pacifists in wartime and communists during the Cold War. Another indirect control turns on opportunities to speak. Even if all should be free to do so, must everyone be given a platform, a newspaper, an audience? To approach the question differently, does the gatekeeping power of media and web giants distort public argument? Governments have stepped in at times to make the giants share their megaphones and refrain from interfering at others. Recently, American regulators and courts have favored the giants. Requirements for fairness in political broadcasting were dropped in the 1980s. A law of 1996 deemed web providers not to be publishers, hence protected from civil suits over material posted. The Supreme Court ruled in 2010 that corporations enjoy free speech protection, making limits on political spending, among other things, harder to enforce. Different social silences, those now called no platforming and cancel culture, make up in stridency what they lack in formal clout, though Mr. Berkowitz thinks their significance is exaggerated. Without always diving deep or giving clear answers, Dangerous Ideas shows that conflicts between free speech and censorship are rarely simple or settled for long. Above all, Mr. Berkowitz grasps how quarrels over free speech are often, at bottom, fights for control of the argument.